Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse, Genesis through Revelation. We come today to Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1, Genesis chapter 7, And the Lord said to Moses, Come, you and all your house, into the ark, for you have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Noah preached for 120 years. The call to repent went out to everyone. But when it came time for God's wrath to hit, only Noah and his family were invited by God to come into the ark. The Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. God is inviting everyone to receive eternal life through Jesus Christ today. But only those who repent and ask Christ to be their Lord and Savior will be invited into heaven after they die. And it's relatively few. Jesus said, Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it, just as it was in the days of Noah. It's always been that way, because people love the world, and they don't want to repent of their sin. They don't want to quit. They'd rather go to hell. Verse 2. God says, Of every clean beast you shall take to you by sevens, the male and its female. And of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and its female. Of the fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. 120 years of preaching and hammering and sawing come down to this. God gives Noah a 7-day notice, a 7-day warning, as it were. Wrap things up, Noah, and get ready for a steady stream of critters, by the way, because the animals are on their way and the flood is going to hit in 7 days. Verse 5, And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beast, and of beast that are not clean, and of fowls, and of every thing that creeps upon the earth, there went in two and two to Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. You say, wait a minute. I don't believe that Noah went out and caught all of those animals. Well, I don't believe it either. Don't assume something is true simply because maybe you've always thought it or because somebody has told you it. The Bible doesn't say that he went out searching for the animals. In chapter 6, verse 20, God said, Noah, they will come to you. So, listen, if God can cause animals to migrate to different parts of the world, then he has no trouble causing them to migrate to the ark. Animals aren't like people, you know. When God tells them to do something, they do it. They don't sit and think about it. They don't rebel against it. They do it. Verse 10, And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Noah and family and creatures sat in that ark and waited. And after 7 days, it started to rain for the first time in the history of the world. 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And so that huge canopy of water that surrounded the upper atmosphere of the earth since day 2 of creation evidently just suddenly falls to the earth. It was like a tidal wave from the sky. And not only that, the earth's crust exploded upward, and the underground oceans and rivers came shooting up to the surface of the earth. Verse 12. Actually, let's move on to verse 13. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after its kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth after its kind, and every fowl after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in to Noah, into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. God shut the door, not Noah. It was Noah's business to preach and tell people how to get saved for 120 years while he built that ark. It was God's business to shut the door of salvation on those who wouldn't listen to the word of God. And you can bet that God kept that door open for as long as he possibly could. And nothing has changed. God wants you to be saved today. God wants your unsaved friends to get saved more than you do. And he will do all that he can, short of violating their free will, to make it happen. 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bore up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. So no matter how high the judgment waters rose, God kept the ark just a little bit higher. And no matter how many sins you are guilty of, if Jesus is your Lord, and if you have asked him to save your soul from hell, then the grace of God and the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ is just a little bit greater than your guilt. Verse 18. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. It floated. One wave after another swept across the world. Can't you just picture this? I wonder how many laps Noah and company did around the earth before this flood ended. 19. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. And this is something that I'll never understand. Theologians who insist that this flood was not worldwide, but it was a local flood. I don't get it. There are liberal theologians out there who aren't even saved and obviously don't believe the Bible, and who the devil uses to trap nominal Christians in their lost condition. They say this wasn't a worldwide flood. It was a local flood. Oh, really? Really? Well, I wonder what God meant when he said, all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. How much more thorough can God be? If words mean anything, and certainly the word of God means something, this was not a local flood. It could not have been. I really don't understand. If people can twist this into meaning that it was a local flood, Then they can twist any scripture into saying whatever they want it to say, and of course they do. Verse 20. It's an attempt by the devil to make people doubt the word of God, not just here, but elsewhere. Because if he can get you to doubt it here, or if he can get you to doubt the original 6 days of creation, which are so crystal clear in the Bible, then he won't have any problem getting you to doubt something else in scripture. 20. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. You know, this is actually pretty close to being a total reversal of the entire creation week. With the exception of the ark, the entire earth looked the way it did on day one. Nothing but water. Nothing but water everywhere. 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of the beast and of every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life. Of all that was on the dry, in the dry land died. And verse 23 says, and every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. So the fish didn't die, but everything else did. Everything that breathed, God said, died. Verse 24, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. So for 150 days, the waters covered the earth without receding a single inch. I don't know what it was like in that ark with all those animals, but somehow they made it. You know, it's easy to be content in an unpleasant situation when the only alternative is much worse. And so maybe this wasn't that rough when they considered that all the people on the entire planet had been wiped out except for them. But it still must have been a difficult situation. Perhaps God caused the animals to hibernate. That would have been nice because they would have eaten less. And all that goes along with that, of course. Plus, they would have been content, more laid back. I hope they hibernated because Noah and family probably appreciated a nice long break. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. They subsided. It says that God remembered Noah. And it doesn't mean that one day God said, hey, that's right. Noah's in that ark down on earth. I remember now. Nah, doesn't mean that. God never forgot Noah. This simply means that it's time for God to act on behalf of Noah. God never forgets about us. He always acts on our behalf at the exact right time. Verse 2, the fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated, and the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. It would have been easier for Noah and company to get out of that boat and start a new life if God would have caused it to rest on flat land. But God has a reason for all that he does. And I can tell you this, if preserving the ark was God's goal, Mount Ararat was the perfect spot for it to rest. Verse 6, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven which went to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. The raven, of course, is a meat-eating bird. Ravens eat rotting flesh. That's why it never returned to Noah. The raven never saw such an amount of delicious food floating around. And so there was no need for it to return to the boat. The raven thought that it died and went to heaven. It was so great. We'll pick it up right here next time.